Need one more thing from you. In my backpack to your right, front small zipper pouch, is the Lucky Puck. Yep.
The Lucky Puck?
Yeah. Yep. Preston forgot it the last time because I'm sure you saw he had to bolt out for work. So he's like, hold on to the Lucky Puck for me.
That was such a good impression.
Oh, yeah. No, he's funny. Not funny. He's always like, you know, sometimes I show up for hockey. I'm like, this ought to be good. Then I get disappointed. Going, that can't make it to the outtake on the start one, but... Episode 2 of the Alabama Frozen Hour as Reese Pfeiffer Hall hosts yet another exciting edition of the Alabama Women's Hockey Podcast. We've got a great guest lined up, some great topics today, something a little abnormal as we head on the first road trip of the year for the women's team, including talking about their upcoming series against the University of South Carolina Gamecocks. Welcome to everyone watching or listening around the world. I'm Spencer Thompson, and Alpern joining me today. Preston McElhaney is not able to join us. He's out with personal reasons, and we're wishing him all the best as he should be joining us on the broadcast this weekend and will be joining us for podcasts next week. And a special thank you to Annie Sokolis on the other side for running the camera side of things. Jaden Watson is also out sick. It's that time of the year, it seems, for a lot of people starting to get sick with the weather changing. But certainly, I would like to think that the amazing person to my right needs no introduction. But certainly, there are those of you who are new to the hockey scene, specifically at the University of Alabama, that need to know who this amazing, fearless leader is. If you don't already know, this is Savannah Prefontaine, and I dared not pronounce her last name until she told me how it was pronounced in that regard. And I don't see you getting resistant or saying you butchered it, so I think I did right on that, right?
Yeah, the E is kind of like more pre-Fontaine, but it's okay.
Pre-Fontaine,
yeah,
okay.
Like kind of like the difference between post, like the opposite of post, so pre-Fontaine, yeah.
So I messed up on that one. We're off to a great start. Savannah Prefontaine, the president of Alabama's initiative of Grow the Game, as well as the first ever general manager for the women's hockey team. She's been around the hockey game for a long time, and especially with has been at the forefront of trying to not only bring an arena to Tuscaloosa, but also to bring more excitement to the hockey side of things. So now we started this. We started this idea in the off season, and I know especially the amount of excitement we've gotten from you behind the scenes on the show. So, and even when you walking in here, it was just continual smiles and giggles and giddiness in that regard. So, I'll just say first off, on behalf of Hannah and I and the rest of the media team, we appreciate you for all the hard work you do behind the scenes and being our fearless leader in that regard. But most importantly, we appreciate you taking the time and looking forward to the conversation.
Well, thank you guys. I'm really happy to be here. And I thank you guys for all the work that you do, the work behind the scenes, and like the team success wouldn't be happening without you guys. So thank you guys.
So I paraphrase our colleague Ian Eagle in the sports media realm, and he's told me that you could talk to 100 different broadcasters about their journey and how they've gotten to where they are today, and you would get 100 different answers, where there's no cookie cutter way for you to make it in this business, and especially on your side pursuing a career in sports media, more so on the public relations side of things, or maybe even the management side. But I'm sure that could also be said about those who are in their respective journeys in the hockey side. So what would you say the journey has been like for Savannah Prefontaine from the moment you knew that you wanted to be involved in hockey to now being involved in hockey in the city where legends are made?
Well, I've always kind of grew up around hockey. My dad played hockey, professional hockey back in the day, and then my brother also played. And then when my brother was born, my dad started coaching him. So I was just always running around the rink and stuff. And, you know, whenever I went to college, I was never planning on majoring in anything related to sports. I was a pre-pharmacy major, and I ended up taking a journalism class and kind of switching over my major to PR. And then my dad told me about the opportunity to get involved with our men's D2 team because player that he used to play with back in the day was actually the coach of that team. And so I got involved with them, and you know, I kind of found my place within the hockey community here at Alabama. And you know, when you think about hockey, and if people like people that have been involved in hockey, they know that the hockey community is very small. And whenever I got involved, it just felt like a family. And the players, the fans, the parents, and like the coaches, they've all been like my biggest supporters. And it was like, it led me to think like, these guys deserve a lot more fans. They deserve so much more. And so then I kind of went off and I started to grow the game, because our rink is an hour away, and the hockey could grow the game in Tuscaloosa, so why not bring a rink here? And then whenever I started to grow the game, I was like, okay, we have to get a women's hockey team here in order for this to work. And so I got Kira, who was the broadcaster for our men's hockey team, and I was like, you played hockey, why don't we do this? And so then we pulled in Morgan Grisbowski and then Tegan Matthew, and then it just all started from there. And the women's hockey team kind of like set me. It was like, this is what you're gonna do. Like, you're making a difference. Like, this is what like you're supposed to do.
It's too bad that Kiera is such a great player, because you saying that she used to be the team broadcaster, I want to work with her on a game.
Right.
Like, now that you say that, I want to work with her on a game, though I don't think that's going to happen, because you would have to not hope, lack of a better term, but the only way that would happen is if she gets injured in that regard.
Wait,
but
we don't want that. We don't want that.
Of course not. And we're not speaking that into existence. This table is covered, but it's made of wood. So knock on wood in that regard. But
yes.
It's one person I'd love to work with.
Oh, yeah. I would love to work with like anyone for sure. I think anyone on the team would be a great asset to have like behind the scenes, as someone who not only knows the game, but also like plays it and understands it at a player's level. But Savannah, is there anyone who you would say like specifically like really impacted like you wanting to go into hockey? I know you talked about your dad, but like, why is it hockey rather than any other sport? And who would you say has had the biggest impact in like pushing you and wanting you to pursue something and like make a difference in the Alabama community?
I couldn't really say like one specific person. I think that in general, it was just all of the players on the women's and men's teams. Whenever I first started the idea, they've like all were like, wow, like you're doing such great things for this program. And you know, the women's team like really like pushed me to kind of like set the standard for them, and it like made me really actually want to do the work for them. And so, you know, I think whenever you have those supporters and like the people that you're doing the work for saying like thank you and stuff like that, it just makes you want to do so much more for them. And that's kind of like the reason why I've gotten so much more involved with the hockey community.
I remember one of the first things you told me on Media Day about the lack of thank yous that you've experienced throughout your journey. And certainly, I don't know if it's necessarily that people are ungrateful. It's that sometimes they don't know how to express it. But I remember you told me with one of your experiences, you only got 3 thank yous all year. So immediately I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. So that way she gets more than 3 on that regard. But it certainly speaks to your character on how you're still willing to push through those moments and not let one negative experience define you. Because and I'm sure you could talk to this, that there's so many in our industry who it's such a grind to get through, whether it's you're in the media side, public relations, advertising, marketing. It's such a grind already, and some people, when they feel like what they're doing is meaningless, they sometimes are detrimented and go on a different path. So that speaks to how driven you are, but also how you could kind of see the bigger picture.
Yeah, and kind of going off of that, like whenever you asked if there's somebody that kind of pushed me to do that, one of my mentors, Delaney Galbraith, who actually started a girls club here at the university, she always tells me, if somebody tells you you can't do something, do it, and even do it, do it even better. And so, you know, that like motivation and like hearing somebody tell you that you can't do something, especially as like a woman in sports, it just makes you want to do it so much more, because as a woman in sports, we're kind of like the underdog within this industry. And you know, being able to be the person that makes the change and shows girls that they are able to do this is kind of something that I've taken on as like another reason why I want to make a difference.
I love all the people at Girls Club, you know, the Lauren Fells and Aslan Jowers, Kendall Gerbers, I know J.C. Lynn Conger is back on the social media side of things, all all great people, and the stuff that Girls Club does on campus, just incredible work that they do as well. I do want to hook back because the University of Alabama certainly is a melting pot of people around, not just the United States, but outside. So I know you touched on this, but you're from the west side of Canada, yep, on Edmonton, yep. So a diehard Oilers fan in that regard. So what specifically, because I know there's a lot of big decisions that go into deciding what university you go to, but especially someone who knew at an early age that you wanted to pursue a career in hockey, why Tuscaloosa?
Well, my mom actually is from Alabama.
Okay.
And so, you know, I had a lot of family around here, and then my mom also went to the University of Alabama. Mm. So I was like, okay, this is kind of, I feel like this is where I want to go. And it was between here and Tennessee.
Mm.
And my thing was, I would never wear orange. Like, I would never wear orange. And I kind of, like, I wanted to go, like, move back home, but, like, it was such a big decision. I was like, I'm going to stay down here, and, like, everything happens for a reason, so let's just see where this goes. And, you know, I came to the University of Alabama, and then, like I said, everything happens for a reason. I started doing what I'm doing, and then I ended up getting my internship with the Edmonton Oilers. And so I just tell myself, if I didn't come to the University of Alabama, I probably would have never gotten that internship.
Yeah. You two probably don't know this about me. When I applied for doctoral programs, UTK was one of them. And I visited three programs out of the eight I applied for. And I visited Knoxville. And, you know, most of my life I grew up in Tennessee. They told me no. They did not let me in. They did not give any sort of funding opportunities, nothing. They just said, sorry, we're declining. So money can buy happiness in very small doses. And I like to think the crimson looks a little bit better on me than the orange. And I like the idea of saying Roll Tide Roll over screaming Rocky Top. I just like that idea a little bit more. And I remember texting you over the summer during your internship with the Oilers. And now, certainly there's a lot of excitement and a good time to be in that circumstance with around their incredible Stanley Cup run. Now, you could put on your resume that you were interned for the Western Conference champions, but I know it's a little disappointing, one game short of being Stanley Cup champions, but that's still invaluable experience nonetheless.
Right, yeah, you know, especially after being down three games and then making that total comeback to make it back to game seven, it was just like an unreal feeling. And, you know, being able to work with the team and like make a connection with like some of the players and also the people that work there, it really made you feel like you lost that game too, but you still have to be so proud of them for making it that far, and like proud of like all of the staff. Like, I was able to work some games, and you know, just being able to be a part of that, it was like, okay, like we were able to do that, like we got to be grateful for that.
Yeah, I know you said like you wanted to go, like there's something in you that was like, I want to go back home, but like what made you be like, this is the team I want an internship with? And was it just the fact that it was at home, or was there like other aspects of it?
It wasn't just the fact that it was at home. It was kind of like when you look at the Oilers, you kind of think of the University of Alabama football team. They're kind of like their fan base is just like, when you're there, it's just like such an unreal experience. Like, there's not much to do in Edmonton. So like their hockey team, everybody loves their hockey team. And then also like being up there and like experiencing like the staff and like being able to make personal connections and like learning about like how their employees grow and like how they want them to get the experience out of it and then also like get up in higher levels. I really like that about them because I'm a leader and I love seeing people grow, and you know, that's kind of something that I value. And so seeing them like have that as a value like really spoke to me.
So what I'm hearing is that we need to take a group road trip to Nashville so you could see Bridgestone Arena and how crazy their fan base is in downtown. Because now, selfishly, I've been there several times, including the only postseason game I've ever been to of North American sports was Game 1, Nashville and Winnipeg, second round. And certainly that was not good for the Preds on that one, where they took, I think it was a several goal loss in that regard. And I was above the home net where Pecorino at the time was just getting scored on over and over. But we were talking beforehand about the Alabama-Georgia game, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But we were talking about how our vocal cords were shot and eardrums were still ringing. The Bridgestone is just as bad, especially because it's an enclosed environment. But it's a testament to how the NHL is still – And it, certainly you've got in the NFL and other major sports leagues these kind of loud environments that are really intimate. But the NHL does a really good job about that because you've just got now, certainly Arizona is a little bit of an exception because of them moving to Utah. But you go to some of these NHL arenas and they've got some of the most dedicated fan bases in the world.
Yeah, you know, hockey fans are just unreal. Like, I don't think that there's any other fans like hockey fans, if you want to be completely honest. They take it in and it's their passion. And I love that about hockey. Like, there's no other atmosphere like a hockey game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's been, especially speaking from being at several collegiate games at this point and being at the professional level with different teams, it's completely unreal. And especially, I argue, most athletic people in the world, too. There's a reason why you're line changing every two to three minutes, because you're just skating up and down the ice continuously and still having to make decisions with the puck and with your stick and everything. It's some of the most athletic people that you know, we're privileged to call games for and work alongside, and it's that part of it is just incredible to me.
And going back to the fan base, it's like there's no other game where you're like banging on the glass like in the players' faces.
Some in a little more excess than others, which we didn't talk about that last week of the podcast, but there, like, I remember Preston and I went up in the booth, we looked down. And this was the High Point series, if I'm not mistaken, or Georgia.
Yes.
And the High Point player goes to the bench. I think it was their star Hannah Frost who went into the box for two minutes. I think it was a cross check or hooking, something like that. And fans can get a little bit rowdy and excessive at times, but this was one of those where the Bama faithful, I guess that's the term for them, but the Bama folks decided to start banging on the glass of where Hannah Frost was in, and certainly the official put a stop to it right then. He said, you got to go down the other side, because again, shows that passion.
Yes.
But sometimes it gets a little out of hand, because I don't remember, you were not in that.
Oh, I was actually in
the
box.
That's right, you were in the box. That one I remember, yeah. Because you were there, and I could remember a sort of like horrific look on your face of like, what am I supposed to do here? Like, what is going on? And I'm sure you haven't experienced anything quite like that at this point.
Oh, no, I've actually never experienced, that was actually one of my first times like working the box. Like, I don't know how to work a penalty box, but like, having fans like bang on the glass like one of the opposing team's players in there, and I'm the general manager, I was like, what am I supposed to do in this moment? And whenever the ref told him to like walk down, I like looked back at her and I'm like, I'm so sorry that happened. And she was like, are they allowed to do that? I was like, no, they're probably not, but I'm so sorry again.
Yeah, it was that was one of those moments I hadn't seen in sport. That's basically the equivalent of like, you have someone who's ejected from a game and you're like throwing stuff at them from the stands in football. So they put a stop to it immediately. It's one of those moments where you could see where the passion spills over a little bit too much on that regard. Let's shift gears a little bit. So you two were color coordinated very well. Hate to break the fourth wall, your pin is upside down. But regardless, you were very color coordinated well. I was just telling these two, I don't have a pink polo with the Bama Sanskrit on it, which I'm sure those exist somewhere. I probably need to find them. I've got a power pink shirt with the Alabama logo on it, but that's more a t-shirt and I like to keep it kind of business casual. But we're wearing these pins because certainly we're recording this October 2nd, and this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I didn't know this about you. I was telling my intro to sport communication class today that, always to try and support these things in October. You know, November, I support No Shave November Month for various men's cancers. But pretty much everyone, whether it's someone directly in your family or someone you know of their family members, has been affected by breast cancer in some way, shape, or form. And you were telling me about this earlier, that it's very near and dear to your heart in that regard. So I'm interested to have you share that story.
Yeah, so back in 2008, or it might have been 2008 or 2009, my grandma in Canada passed away from breast cancer. And, you know, she was like one of the closest people to me. And I kind of take this dear to my heart just because she's kind of actually one of the people that got me to go into nonprofit work. She did a lot of volunteer work. She ran some tournaments at the golf course and did a lot in the community. And so she's one of the people that really showed me that you should make a difference, and you know, try to carry that on, that legacy for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyone on your family's side?
No, not directly. Okay. First of all, I'm sorry for your loss.
Of course.
But I also, like, I know you said, like, she made a difference in your community and everything, and obviously you're making a difference in the community here and, like, the hockey world, but is there any, like, characteristics that you see in yourself that, like, definitely you carry with you because of her?
I think that she definitely was very empathetic, and you know, I try and take that in with me and, like, try and understand, like, what people are going through before thinking something about them or anything like that. And you know, everybody always tells me whenever I go back up there, they're like, we see so much from your grandma, and like everybody remembered her because she like had people like leaving with a smile on their face. Mm-hmm. And you know, yeah. I like being that person that brings light into people's day.
Mm-hmm. And it's like Coach Saban has always said that it's not that people aren't going to remember what you say; they remember how you made them feel. In
right.
that regard, at least on my side, my aunt on my mom's side, at least if I recall correctly, she went through remission for breast cancer and fortunately survived that. But it's not always the case on that. It's certainly reflecting the sentiment of condolences for your loss. And it's it's a real thing. And we've got so many great doctors and scientists who are still researching to try and cure these various things of cancer. And it changes a lot of families, because I'm sure even you know, if I'm doing the math right, you were probably at that point in elementary or middle school during those years, and even when you're young, you still have that comprehension of one of your family members has got cancer, and it changes the whole dynamic of the family and the kind of support that you leave for her.
Yeah, so 2 years after that, actually, my dad actually got the job offer to come coach a professional hockey team down in Columbus, and you know, he talked to my mom, and he was like, I think this would be a good change for us, because it was also a year after he just lost his dad to also my grandpa. And so that was honestly, I think it was a good change for us to come down here. You know, everything happens for a reason, yeah. But you know, yeah. They lived a good life, and we wouldn't be where we are today without that. So
so your father got a coaching gig, and in your case, you've gotten now into the managerial side of things and the staff wise. And certainly you mentioned everything happens for a reason, and you've gone on this path through managing a multitude of organizations. I need to know, how many hours of sleep do you get a night? Because when I look at your email signature when you're sending me things, or on your LinkedIn page, I don't know how you balance everything without just a maximum of maybe 6 hours of sleep a night.
Honestly, I probably do get 6 hours of sleep a night. Honestly, I think I have like 6 hours of sleep at night on Mondays and Wednesdays, and then 8 hours on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But you know, Outlook calendar, that is my best friend. I literally put in every time, like I'm eating dinner, yep, or anything like that. I have to plan out my whole day on there. Mm. So
yeah,
that is actually how like I am able to get like all my tasks done and stay organized. And you know, like you said, there's a lot of stuff in my signature, but that's like one thing about the University of Alabama is they offer you so many ways to get involved, and that's actually another reason why I came here, is because there's over 700 organizations that you can get involved in. There's something for everybody.
Yeah, my iCloud calendar is how I mount stuff. Now, I don't go to blocking out dinner and like certain study times in that regard, but I've still got an idea in my head of, okay, I got this today, I got this. All right, we're leaving at 6:30 this Saturday for these things, that I balance that stuff out. Yeah. How many hours of sleep you get in a night nowadays, Hannah?
I was gonna say, it's funny how we all have different ways, but mine's like the Notes app on Apple.
Good.
And mine's literally planned down to the minute. Like dinner, breakfast, classes, whatever. But I'm really big on my sleep. It has to be 8 hours or I am so like not in a good mood the next day. And so if that means like cutting homework a little short and waking up early the next morning, that's what it's gonna have to be.
You see, she's smiling today, so you know she got her 8 hours of sleep last night. That's the important thing. Certainly for someone in your position, Savannah, there's, you know, you and I have talked about this, where sometimes it feels like the weight of the world is on your shoulders, but it also really helps when things go right. And certainly you're going to have times where things go wrong, but it really benefits when you're seeing things come to fruition. I remember you talking about how the first opening weekend for the women's team was just very chaotic and trying to balance everything else out. So I'm interested to know, as the general manager for this team, especially first year, how do you define success?
Wait.
I know it's a big one, but.
You know, with success, success doesn't come without failure. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I think that you have to fail in order to succeed because, you know, learning is beneficial for success. Like, you get to, like, see what goes wrong. I'm, like, trying to think. I feel like I'm, like, trailing off with this question. I'm, like, blank.
Well, I guess I'll go on that or try to help you with that. It, certainly wins and losses are a big metric for that. I know at some point we'll get Coach Davis and Coach Laxton and Coach Reniger on here, and they'll certainly talk about their metrics on it. But I wonder, especially because you're not necessarily just seeing the, you know, the coaches or the players on their side, but you're also looking from an operation standpoint, from, and to a certain extent, you know, the broadcasting side and media relations, PR and everything. So I wonder, do you ever look at either like big or small victories in that regard? I guess at the end of the day, when you try to get your maybe sometimes 4 hours of sleep, like you lay your head down at night, what makes you feel like I won today?
You know, I think that the staff that I have, especially like you guys doing all this stuff, I have people that I can rely on.
We paid her to say that.
Yeah. No, they did not pay me to say that. I just like, this is like the, like, I feel like this staff, it's like they wanted to come in here and work. And, you know, that's how I go to sleep at night, is I know that I have people that are putting in the work and the effort to make this team's first year successful. And like, that's another reason why I'm so thankful to be a part of this program, is I have not only the players building me up, but staff like helping me become a better person and a better leader.
Mm-hmm. What about you on that success metric?
I mean, to me, success is varied or can vary in so many different ways. But at the end of the day, when I get in bed for the night and everything, and it comes down to, did I get everything done that I planned to? And sometimes I didn't, but there were still other things within the day that I accomplished, and that's how I measure it. But I also think there are some days where not everything gets done and something didn't go our way. But there are also bigger things in the world that sometimes just happen, and you have to put those things first. So I was gonna ask you, has there ever been a time when like something didn't go your way and like, but you somehow figured out how to overcome it and felt more successful than you would have if it would have gone according to your plan?
So actually we experienced this with our Georgia game I think it was the Saturday or the Sunday game. There was some miscommunication with our game times, and you know, they told us it was at this time, and they ended up being way earlier. And so, you know, we get to the rink and we're like, what do we do? Like, we have to go front and find all of these people. And, you know, I was talking to the UGA president about this, and she was like, it wouldn't be women's hockey if there wasn't crisis management involved. And I was like, you are so right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just, like, it takes the people helping you to be able to figure it out and, you know, find that success.
And
No, you're good.
We drove up there together. We were in the car together. And I think one of the things that stood out to me was how calm you remained in that situation. Like, you just went silent and just went into work mode, and I was like, she's gonna figure this out and it's gonna go way better than we could have imagined.
The other thing I'll add onto that as well about the crisis management in that regard, I get a text from Savannah that first game. She goes, hey, do you have an iPad we can use? And I'm like, I mean, my game boards are on it, but if you need it. She's like, we have game sheet. We have to put this stuff on. We can't have the game if we don't have this iPad or something like that. And full disclosure, and I don't know if I made this clear to you. I wasn't trying to, we were texting. I was like, see if there's anyone else who has one. I wasn't trying to be like, no, you can't use my iPad. I was just trying to see, do you have any other contingency plans on this? But it's another one of those, you do what you can to make these things stretch together. But that also is a testament to how much, the whole idea of weight of the world on your shoulders, because some would say that's a big detail, but sometimes those things can get lost in the mix because you're having to worry about when the game's starting. You have to worry about, all right, does the visiting team have locker room access? Or are they transited good? Is broadcast in place? Do we have our social media people here and everything? And you've certainly got great leaders in the other departments who are helping with those sort of things, but it's still end of the day, there's still potentially some things that could slip through the cracks on that. But yeah, that was a stressful time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a pretty stressful time, but you know, there's always going to be those few quirks at the beginning of the season. You know, you just got to figure it out, and you know, by the end of the season, we're going to be like, okay, well, yeah, it was a learning process, but look how far we've come.
Now, we talked about this on the opening episode about Hollywood Williams and how that came to fruition, and more importantly, how chaotic it was leading up to that, because I know the men's team knew like a week or two in advance from what I was told. When did you find out that, hey, we've got an Alabama football star that's going to be doing our ceremonial puck drop?
Well, actually, we first started it with the women's team. It got offered to the men's team after that. So we didn't want to post anything until it was confirmed that he was coming. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it was like a whole craziness leading up to that with Ryan Williams coming. But, you know, we had the staff that figured it out, and we had the resources. Mm-hmm. So it all got done, and, you know, the way it came into fruition is whenever he recommitted back to Alabama, whenever DeBoer came, we beat Auburn 20-0. Yep. He was like, wow, that's crazy. He reposted on his story. And, you know, we stood up on our Instagram and we were like, hey, would you want to, like, maybe do, like, a partnership with us one day? And I just, like, we exchanged numbers and I kept in contact with him. And I think that making personal connections with people and, like, not treating them as, like, a really famous person, oh, yeah. and like treating them as an actual 100%. Person really makes a difference and like makes them want to do stuff for you. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, all right, come out to a game. You're an upcoming athlete. We're an upcoming team. Mm-hmm. Like, let's help each other out. And, you know, we just ended up blowing up with him coming out. And then he ended up going out and demolishing Georgia. So, what gets better than that? You go to a drop a puck in a women's hockey game next weekend, you're blowing up because you did like had an amazing game.
Yeah, and I also say, you know, a credit to Mia Perez and the rest of the social media team. Mm-hmm. He looked like he was a kid in a candy store doing those TikToks and everything. The whole, again, you don't want to see me dance, but the whole dip trend thing, like I know Morgan's original video on that went viral on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And then for him to start doing it with, it was Kiara and the name slipping me of the other
Kate.
Player. That was Kate, yeah. But it was that was one of those. He didn't even seem hesitant at all from what I heard on doing those. And he said, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, he was actually even encouraging the girls to, like, pose and stuff in the pictures. And I was like, this kid is awesome. He's so humble. Like, and he's just like, you love to see other athletes supporting each other, especially a male athlete supporting women's sports.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, that's just so awesome to see.
And I think I was talking to Mia about this, and she was saying how, like, he was coming up with creative ideas to, like, implement into the videos and that kind of stuff. And, like, the fact that he wanted to be there, like, can you describe, obviously, like, you're not the girls, like, who were in the videos, but, like, how did Kate and Kiara, like, take that, and how did they feel?
You know, it's, like, it's awesome to see players, like, feeling appreciated and feeling like they matter. And, you know, like, the women's team is a club sport, and, like, seeing, like, a really famous athlete like that, especially somebody that's on Alabama's football team supporting them, I think that it made them feel like what they're doing actually matters and that their team and sport is growing. And so it made me feel good, especially as a general manager. I feel like the team mom, and seeing them happy and seeing them being able to be excited about being able to partner with them like really made me feel good.
Yeah, and going on this, I know there's a lot of staff members we're going to make sure we get on this podcast. There's a lot of great people and such, but if you are not somewhere on the rink or in the bench areas or scrambling around and everything, Mia Perez is scrambling around, doing a whole bunch of other things, trying to sort of be the glue that holds things together when they need additional glue other than yourself. So what has Mia meant to you throughout this season so far?
So, you know, Mia and I actually met last year with Capstan Agency, and she was my account executive for the client team that I was on. And so she was actually my leader. And so being able to, like, make that connection with her there, and then kind of, like, bringing her on to the team. She never really liked sports. Like, I don't think she was ever involved in hockey. She's never, like, been to a game. And so, like, bringing her on and then seeing her start growing as like a leader and a, like even more, and then like also falling in love with like the sport and making those connection with the players, I think that it like meant a lot to me, like being able to show somebody how much I love this and like how much it like could change your life, because she actually made our Instagram grow like over like 1500 followers this past week. And you know, being able to see her excitement and how proud she was of herself and like how successful she felt, like I think really made me feel like, yeah, this is what you're doing matters, and like you're making people like find their passion. And
And I know you're down on the ringside most of the game, but Mia usually is up in that perch we've got at the top of the bleachers, and anytime it's the same deal. You're seeing her either helping someone hold things together, or whenever Savannah has to do other things, she's like, all right, text me if you guys need anything. Savannah's running penalty box, running those things. But you know, it's again, there's this whole concept of lead by example, and certainly we've got the gold standard in Savannah for that. Yes. But Mia is up there almost to the gold standard. Yeah. Only because we have, actually, I'll put it this way. We've got the diamond standard, so gold standard is Mio, who will take the reins when Savannah graduates.
Yeah, and I think, like, having a team that works so hard and, like, you can just see how people are going to continue to move up as, like, the years go on is something that's really cool, because not everyone is as passionate as this team is. Not everyone can commit to something at this level and say, I want to continue to move up in this. And I think that's something that really speaks volumes to who this team is and how passionate everyone is and how hard everyone wants to work.
Yeah, it's it also helps with starting out 4-0. That's a big thing, is especially I'm sure that's one of the things you didn't mention this with resting your head at night, but I'm sure you also slept a little bit easier after the wins from Georgia, and especially High Point, because I remember walking up to you after the game and just the collective sigh of relief after how intense the Panthers brought the game in Pelham a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so HPU is actually within a different league known as the ACHA, and they're kind of like a much more, a lot more experienced league when it comes to the women's division. And so, you know, I kind of took this as like, okay, let's go in and be the first AAU team to play an ACHA team, and let's set the standard for Alabama women's hockey. And so, you know, we went in and did just that, and like we showed people that Alabama can bring women's hockey players that can actually play here. And so it was kind of awesome to see that happen. And, you know, the men's ACHA team actually recently just joined the conference that the HPU team is in. And so, you know, it kind of gave some thought to be like, okay, maybe one day we can make the jump up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, again, domino effects of trying to grow the game, not just in a namesake here in Tuscaloosa, but to try and grow it as a whole throughout the collegiate hockey scene in that regard. So teams starting to move up in that regard, which is just good all around for the collegiate hockey scene, especially with conferences that don't have enough interest to really regulate it. I mean, as much as I would love the idea of SEC hockey someday, it's one of those where does the conference really have enough interest for it? Can they regulate it at a regular level? It's not quite to that point yet, which is why the ACHA and other conferences like that are starting to do that in that regard. But, you know, speaking of SEC hockey, we've essentially got an SEC hockey matchup this coming weekend, so you will not be on the road with us. But Savannah will be our camera operator this next weekend, which, how familiar are you on the camera side? I know you're on PR for the most part, but have you worked the camera a decent amount in your time?
Yeah, actually, before you guys came on our broadcasting team this past year, we had our commentators, but we always had to throw people in to like operate the cameras. And so, you know, sometimes I'd be operating the camera or another person would. So, yeah, I think I have a pretty good experience. But, you know, Mia and Reagan will also be there this weekend, so I might not have to operate the camera.
might have one of them sitting outside. It's like Hannah having to do doing the game clock for the first two games of the weekend and such, trying to double, triple up on those assignments. But as I was saying, we've essentially got SEC hockey coming up this weekend with the University of South Carolina Gamecocks. First road test, too. And we were talking about this before we started recording, that the one of the biggest challenges that I think the team is going to have to overcome this weekend is the travel side of it. Because, again, part of growing the game is that you've got some challenges you have to work through, including budgetary restrictions. And part of it is that you would think that, well, you would want the team to stay, an ideal circumstance, you want the team to stay the night before so they don't travel the same day of a game, but budgetary-wise, we have to leave at 6:30 in the morning from Tuscaloosa, yeah. Lose an hour getting over to Eastern time, but looking at the itinerary, you've got some breaks for walking around and stretching and trying to keep mentally right, but I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like that's going to be the biggest challenge for the team going into this weekend is overcoming the travel side.
Yeah, I honestly don't really see it that much of a challenge because, like, you know, my past years with the men's teams, we always left the day of just because kids have classes on Fridays and games. Yeah. We always fall on Fridays, you know. That's why I try and build in those stops along the way for them. But yeah, it is a challenge with having to book all those rooms because you think about it, we have a 20-person roster, then we have our coaches, then we have our staff, you know. You guys kind of, like, think about it logically as, like, it's okay that we're leaving, like, the day of, you know, you just gotta fit in those breaks, but, you know, like, even if you think about it, if the game was on Friday, we'd still be doing the same thing.
Sure, yeah. And from a game standpoint, Hannah, I was talking with Genevieve Crouch, who's the president for the USC women's hockey team, and she was telling us, and I still got to get deep into the game prep and try to look at the stuff on the Game Central, but what they were mentioning from last year, they beat Auburn 19-3, UGA 13-2. They lost to Tampa 4-3 in the postseason, and at least looking at it, very sophomore heavy on their roster. You've only got two seniors on the team, and you got about two or three juniors on there, but it's a very youthful team on the collegiate side and heavy on the sophomore and freshman side.
Yeah, and I think based on, like, the stats and who the team is and, like, their age range and everything, they seem very similar to our team. And I'm interested to see how we kind of come into this game as we attack very hard on the offensive side of the game, and we do a great job holding our line on the D. But I'm also interested to see how these teams are going to compare to each other because, like, we've beaten Georgia this year. They beat Georgia last year. We beat Auburn last year. Iron Cup's in a couple weeks. I think this could be a very telling time of, obviously, we haven't played Tampa, but it's going to be a very telling game of who this team actually is.
Yeah, that Tampa travel, I don't even know how they're gonna handle that. We worry about that next semester, but that's going to even be a more fun one. You talk about the challenges, per se, of going out to, remind me, is Greenville? My geography is a little rusty.
Greenville, South Carolina.
Irmo.
Say it again?
Irmo,
that's right, because it's one of the, like, suburbs that's around there. Again, I never took geography in middle or high school, so I'm a little bit rusty on that, but, you know, but the travel to Tampa is going to be interesting this coming spring in that regard. But, you know, but first road challenge in that regard. I've always liked, at least from my standpoint on broadcasting, I love the idea of traveling on other people's dimes in that regard and going to see other places. But I've been to South Carolina, technically, because I don't know if you guys know the Carowinds, the amusement park that's right on the border. There's the entrance. You have, like, two sides of the sidewalk where you do North South Carolina. So technically, I've been in South Carolina, but I remember Preston was telling us beforehand he grew up there for a couple of years, and he was like, "I could show you some places around town, do some things." But on the travel side of it, you feel that kind of same sentiment of enjoying traveling the world in a sense on team expenses.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's going to be a great experience overall. I think all of the bus experience and traveling there, just it's a great team bonding experience.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it really helps with the chemistry on the ice. So, you know, I traveled with it's going to be my first road trip with the women's team, like, actually on a bus. But, like, you know, we had a little tournament this past year in Tennessee, and, you know, just going up there with them for a little road trip and just being able to, like, go out to eat with them and stuff like that. It was just, like, a great experience. And I actually traveled down to Tampa with the men's team this past year. And I was in the car with three of the guys, and, you know, it just really helped with me being able to, like, learn more about them. And, you know, those are actually the three thank yous. Those are my three thank yous right there.
It's from the road trip going down because they're in a confined space, so they feel kind of compelled on it in that regard. So thank you.
Yeah,
so we'll continue, though. So now double what you got from last year.
It was like they only never only said thank you once. Those were just the three kids that always said thank you. So
note to the players, staff members, anybody else who is listening to this, you see Savannah in any capacity, you just look at her and say thank you. No matter what the circumstance, you just greet her with a thank you.
You don't have to do that.
I'm saying you have to. Savannah says you don't, but I'm saying you should. But you know, this weekend's going to be a lot of fun. So as we promised, we have our odd topic that we talk about every week on the podcast to kind of wrap things up. Certainly we already talked about the Georgia game last week, and obviously yeah. it was what a weekend, especially to be in stadium for that. It yes. was, that was a lot of fun. We saw each other on the tailgating side at the men's hockey team as their alumni tailgating tent, and a lot of the women's players were around and everything, so that part was fun. But now, since this is the first time we're going on the road, you mentioned the bonding side of things and the transit part, road trip snacks. Now, youngest of four siblings, military family, so I've traveled, I would like to think I probably traveled more on the road than you two have, maybe I'm wrong, but had a lot of road trips. I have a lot of opinions on this, but I'm interested to hear, we'll start with you on this, Savannah, your preferred snacks when going on road trips.
So it's like a tradition for like all of my first stops. We like one of the stops to make while on the road trips with the teams is we always have to stop at Buc-ee's.
I'm sure that is purposely worked into this weekend, right?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So my go-to's. I am one of those girls that love having different drinks. So I'll get a water, a Celsius, and a chocolate milk.
That is very specific. Hold on. Water, Celsius. And chocolate milk. Is there a preference on the chocolate milk brand, or you just go with whatever's on the shelf?
Honestly, I just go with whatever on the shelf. Okay. Usually the ones that's like lactose free.
Okay.
Is there an order that they're drinking in, or is it just whatever you're feeling?
Well, the water is just there for like whenever, but okay. I usually drink the Celsius first just to get that energy in, then like the chocolate milk. Just sip it along the way.
Yeah. I've never had a Celsius.
Oh.
I've never had one of those. So it's like an energy drink or cut back.
Yeah.
So I try to stay away from from energy drinks for one because I care about my kidneys, but also for two, I somehow when my body wakes up, I'm usually stimulated unless I'm on minimal sleep. But Red Bull is usually where I find myself if I'm really having to push through those days. But
no. I was going to say, there were many mornings last semester where you had a Red Bull in class.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's like, again, we talked about this. Hannah was one of my students in 146, and that was an 8 in the morning class in good old Reese Fight for All 216. And, yeah, I've waned off. I'm now doing the Starbucks espresso and cream, like little 10-something ounces because – God, those Red Bulls got me through some of those mornings. That was those were some tough ones. Red Bull and Pop-Tarts at times when they get me through. But I will have to try a Celsius on the road, it seems.
And then my snack is like the Duos with, I don't know what Cheez-Its it is. I think it's like Baby Jack and maybe like Parmesan? I don't know.
Okay.
Cheez-Its and then they cookie dough bites.
Those
are good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The
birthday cake ones specifically.
Yes. I have not had the birthday cake ones. I've had the regular cookie dough bites. They say try them frozen, which I've tried. Oh. I put them in the freezer before. Those ones are especially good. It's weird. At gas stations, I can't really find the birthday cake ones. Maybe Buc-ee's has them.
It's the Buc-ee's. It's like the Buc-ee's specific cookie dough ones.
Okay, so I have to try Celsius. I have to try birthday cake cookie dough bites.
From Buc-ee's.
But specifically, those stuff for Buc-ee's. I got a list of stuff. So Hannah, road trip snacks.
Typically a Smart Water.
Yes.
Those are so good. And then I only like Smart Water though. It's like better than like Fiji and Dasani and all those. And Alani Nu, which is like Celsius's competitor.
Okay.
And then my snack of choice would be Smart Food, like white cheddar popcorn.
Okay. I can hang with that. The white cheddar popcorn is pretty good. I'm spoiled on the popcorn side because many years ago, my parents bought at a yard sale a movie theater style popcorn machine. It's one of those with the kettles. You throw in the you cook the oil first and get it heated, then throw in the seeds, and they started using coconut oil on those things, which a little bit better on the cholesterol in that regard. But it's also anytime I have like microwave popcorn or from other places, it's just that one. I'm spoiled in that that regard. My road trip size, I'm an icy junkie. So especially when you go to Buc-ee's, you got those large like icy cups and everything. So those are always fun. I find myself on the Jack Links. Sometimes you can find the gas stations. They have the thick cut steak bites. Those ones are really good. Beef jerky is also good. I've gone on also the side on honey roasted Planters peanuts. Those ones are pretty good. And then I don't know if either of you like Haribo products, like gummy bears or peach such. If you can find Haribo gummy frogs, those things are really... She just gave me the most judgmental look. The crazy thing. But Haribo gummy frogs are fantastic.
I just think frogs was the last thing I was expecting to come out of your mouth.
Have you ever had the whales?
Whales?
The blue ones? What,
gummy whales?
Yes.
I have never had those.
Oh, those are good too. And the peach rings.
Peach rings are good. Specifically the Trolley. Peach rings. Because there are some other brands. There's also the Trolley sour gummy worms. Those are also really good too. I also find like if I'm going on like the chip side, I go between there's the Doritos like chili limon, like those little rolled ones. There's also that in like sometimes I'll go on like the sour cream and onion chip train in that regard. But yeah, anytime I stop on a road trip, I just hope that we go to a gas station that has an icy machine that works. You ever have so many times where it's like the McDonald's ice cream machine it's always broken? The icy machine is either defrosting or doesn't have CO2 or something like that. But
trust, we will always stop at a good gas station,
especially
one with an icy machine. Oh, yes. I will make sure.
Where are we stopping for lunch on the trip? I know it said pending.
TBD.
Okay.
We're gonna probably stop somewhere along the way. All I gotta do is I usually go up to Mr. Neely. That's that's usually a bus driver, and I'm just like, let's pull off here. There's usually a few options. We try to stop somewhere for girls to like walk so they can have one girl wants another thing, one girl wants one thing.
Now I know you also mentioned on the itinerary that there's a lot of restaurants within walking distance of the hotel. Are we gonna raid the Chili's? Like, are we just going to raid the Chili's and have a bunch of three for me's or like?
I mean, I don't know. It's just up to whatever anybody wants.
Fair enough on that regard. So that's our odd topic with the road trip snacks. Judge us if you want. If you do, I don't think any of us really care, or you can tell us your other road trip snack suggestions in that regard. But Savannah, thank you. We appreciate you taking the time to come on the come on the show and everything. I know you were especially giddy when I told you, hey, we need you on the show next week. You're just like, ee! And I'm so excited and all of that. But seriously, it's, I remember when I first did the interview side for this job, like I hadn't even met you on campus, like during the several years I had been here. And immediately when I started talking to you and Rachel Hooten and J.C. Lynn Conger in that interview room, I knew that this is someone I want to work for. Like, this is somebody that I know is knows her stuff and knows what she's doing. And I know I can speak for Hannah and the rest of the media team that we have a deep appreciation for all the stuff you do behind the scenes and the support you give us in that regard. Even if I joke about Canada at times, because I know another person from Edmonton who does not like the city. But you know,
I love the city. But I just want to say thank you guys for all that you guys do. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without you guys. So I'm really happy to be here.
Much appreciated. Hannah, you got any final thoughts before we head into this USC weekend series and plug along through the season?
I'm excited to see how the travel affects our players and the girls, if it does. I'm sure they're still going to come out strong and put up a good game, so it'll be a good weekend.
Yeah, it should be a good one. Preston and I will be waking up early for that one, as will the rest of the team, leaving from Tuscaloosa and the charter bus, and then turn right back around to come back on Saturday. I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be lingering around me for because my iPad, usually I have this with me, and I'll be watching college football on Saturday and then NFL football on Sunday. So that's probably have a huge huddle of people coming towards the front of the bus to be like, what's going on in this one? Or because I don't know if the charter bus has TVs, because if it does, then we know everyone's going to be watching that Vanderbilt game.
They usually put something that I don't know if we'll be able to connect the game on, but we usually can stick into movies.
Because last year when I worked with Adapted Athletics, they had the buses they got. Some of them had an HDMI port.
Oh,
so you could plug something in. Oh, yeah. Well, not even that. I've got a Amazon Fire TV stick. that you just plug in, and I connected my phone's hotspot, and Netflix, YouTube TV, all that stuff now varies on cell connection, obviously. So look at us talking about Fire TV sticks and how amazing it is that we're able to do these sort of things. But anyways, that's going to wrap up episode 2 of the Alabama Frozen Hour with our special guest for the day, Savannah Prefontaine. We'll probably have another guest on either next week or 2 weeks from now, whenever our next one comes out. But appreciate you all for listening. Be sure to catch the women's ice hockey team scheduled this weekend, as Saturday and Sunday they face off against the University of South Carolina Gamecocks. For Hannah Alpern, Savannah Prefontaine, Preston McElhaney on leave this week, as well as our producer Annie Sukalis and Jaden Watson as well, recovering from a sickness. I'm Spencer Thompson saying so long from Reese Pfeiffer Hall on the campus of University of Alabama. Episode 2 in the books for the Alabama Frozen Hour.